The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello and welcome to the Invite Health Wellness Hour. I am Dr. Amanda Williams. We have so many different products that sometimes people are taken back by when they walk into one of our stores and they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that you guys carry so much. And we really do. So across the full spectrum of health and wellness, if you're just looking for just a single vitamin, we've got those. If you're looking for very comprehensive formulations, like I had mentioned, the performance multivitamin, that is our, in my opinion, probably our most advanced formula in its own right when it comes to our multis. And that one, it's just so unique, having the superoxide dismutase and the rhodiola in that. So it's just a great, great formulation. But people are oftentimes, they're very surprised by how extensive our line is. But remember, we've been at this for over 20 years now. So while we, you know, started off small, we continue to grow in terms of our product development. And even to this day, I'm working on many different formulas, doing some reworking of our skincare line. And I've found a really unique way to bring in these incredibly clean nutrients into some new skincare products. So I'm very excited about that. That will be coming very soon. And that matters. As you know, if you've been listening to this program, you know that I focus a lot on comprehensive wellness and making sure that you are limiting your exposure to different chemicals, and especially chemicals that you put onto your skin every single day and onto your hair. So definitely, if you can, make it into one of our stores and look at our shampoo, our herbal conditioner. These are wonderful alternatives to using chemicals. And we talk so much about our everyday exposure because it matters. And we know that when it comes to cardiovascular health, there is such a link between poor air quality, both indoor and outdoor air quality, and even, you know, the impact of unhealthy things and chemicals in the soil and in the water, that we have to be proactive to our own health. And there, talked about the study that Alex shared with me that was really interesting out of Tufts University, that only 7% of Americans are considered to be metabolically healthy. Now, this is off of the back of a study that University of North Carolina did about 5 years ago, looking at the metabolic healthiness of the country, and only 12%. So I guess we're trending even worse. You would think that with more awareness and people having the ability to reach out to folks, such as any of our nutritional experts at Invite Health, that we would start trending the other way. But unfortunately, we're still behind the eight ball when it comes to that. And American Heart Association, at the end of last month, they came out and they said only 1 in 5 people in the U.S. has optimal heart health. So that pretty much kind of solidifies the study that you came across, Alex, from Tufts, talking about how most Americans, 7% of Americans, are considered healthy, and the other 93%, not so much. Now, well, that you start to look at that, does it make sense to you?
It does. And the reason why I send that to you is I know they mentioned cardiovascular, and I know Invite Health has an incredible line of products for that specific, wellness that you have to take care of, your heart.
We do. We really do. And, you know, when you think about just the basics of cardiovascular health, when it comes to heart health, we have to look at all of the moving parts that are occurring. You know, you have the heart muscle itself. I always describe it's like having a two-story house. You have the upstairs and the downstairs. And let's just say that there's two rooms upstairs and two rooms downstairs. And through looking at the heart that way, we can start to understand how, if you have a chamber dysfunction, so say you've got one room in your house that's very cluttered and dirty. Oh, that's a problem. You probably want to go clean that up. And so if we start to look at the heart in that setting
and we say, okay, our upstairs is doing okay, but downstairs, not so great. And this is where you have things like left ventricular hypertrophy or enlargement of the left ventricle. This is very common. And this can lead to significant heart damage. I always say the heart muscle is the one muscle you don't want to have enlarge. It's not like enlarging your biceps. You don't want your heart to get bigger. And so at Invite Health, we understand that there are many nutrients that the heart requires each and every single day. So outside of omega-3 fatty acids, which we know are incredibly important, we also have to look at the different minerals. So magnesium is something that I generally tell everyone, regardless of what their health concerns are, is to add magnesium glycinate or magnesium citrate into their daily supplementation routine. And so we have that as kind of, I always say, part of the daily, every day, what you're going to take, your omega-3. So whether you're using the Invite Health fish oil or using our krill oil advanced, along with magnesium, and then we have to look at vitamin D. That's super important when it comes to cardiovascular health. And then we look at other nutrients that we know are just really powerful when it comes to the support of the heart. And ubiquinol, and we use that really unique form. The Conica brand is the registered trademark form of CoQ10 that we actually use in our formulations. The reason why we use that is because the scientific research and all of the clinical validation on coenzyme Q10 is done with the Conica form. University of Texas, their heart center down there, they really dove into a lot of the initial research with CoQ10 in heart failure patients and other cardiovascular related disorders. And they found that when they were supplementing these patients with the Conica form of CoQ10, that their outcomes were much, much better. So not all CoQ10s are created the same. That's certainly well known and well established at this point in time. But that's why at Invite Health, we use the ubiquinol, the Conica form. So we have two different ubiquinols available, the 60 milligram Conica, and then we also have our 120 milligram, which also is combined with something known as coenzyme 1, but that is NADH, which is a vitamin B3 derivative. And we know vitamin B3 is really important for the cardiovascular functionality. And we think about the vascular support. So we have a very large line of formulations that zero in on cardiovascular health. Of course, we can look at things like resveratrol and the power of resveratrol. I talked about that study out of LSU where they were actually taking cardiac stents and saturating them into resveratrol before, putting them into the vessel. And they found that the recovery post-stent was much greater when people's blood vessels actually were exposed to that resveratrol. So the power of those antioxidants are incredibly healing when it comes to the heart muscle themselves. So we're going to take a quick break. When I get back, we're going to talk about some more fun things. I've got a really exciting guest coming up in the second half of the show. So stick around. You're listening to Invite Health Radio. I'm Dr. Amanda Williams. We'll be right back.
Now is the time to make sure you're managing stress and getting that energy back. Invite Health is here to help. This week, they're zeroing in on promoting energy, focus, and attention with powerful, clinically studied nutrients. And they're making this even easier for you by offering you a limited time offer. Buy one of their select heart health supplements and get 40% off retail. Double up, buy two, and get free shipping. Call them now at 800-673-2345 to save on select energy and brain health products. Again, that's 800-673-2345. 800-673-2345. One more time, 800-673-2345. Tired of feeling wired and tired? Support your energy, focus, and attention today. Invite Health. Get healthy, stay healthy. 800-673-2345.
Welcome back to the Invite Health Wellness Hour. I am Dr. Amanda Williams. As I have mentioned on other occasions, we've got stores located all over the greater New York area. So we've got our stores in Manhattan, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Nassau County, and of course in Long Island. And then every single one of those stores, we have a nutritional expert who is there to help guide you through what can be at times a very overwhelming process, because I think more people are becoming cognizant of the importance of wellness. It's still a slow go, but I do think that people are starting to at least pay attention to it. Certainly. Oh, go ahead.
So I was going to say, that being said, is the 93% the entire population that isn't dealing with their health, or are we dealing with a section with that? Meaning, does that represent a whole swath of people, or is it one particular? Like, are there Americans knowing their health and we just don't hear about it?
No, I mean, this is the study out of Tufts, because of the data pooling that they actually did that showed that only 7% of Americans were, you know, metabolically healthy. Same thing with the study out of University of North Carolina, with 12% being healthy. Their data pooling was so inclusive, let's just say, across the entire country. So looking at different, you know, race, ethnicity, gender, age. So the data pooling itself wasn't leading down any, you know, road of bias, like, oh, well, they only studied people who were between the ages of 60 and 70. So it was very diverse in terms of the way that they were able to establish that, and the fact that it wasn't just based off of independent questionnaires. It's not like someone was just saying, well, yeah, I have diabetes and yeah, I probably don't eat well on a self-reporting. They were actually doing serum blood testing and were able to see that indication that as a whole, as a society, we are very unhealthy. And we know this. Unfortunately, I think sometimes we get stuck in the mindset that we're America and we're the best at everything. And unfortunately, when it comes to healthcare and wellness and preventive medicine, we are definitely well, you know, far behind so many other countries and nations. And it's, you know, a lot of it is our diet. We can certainly point to that as being the prevalent, you know, reason as to why we are such a, in a sense, sick society. But we also have to look at the awareness. You know, so many people are doing so many different things all the time. And, you know, what people are doing in one part of the country, someone, you know, people are doing other things in another part of the country. So I think that's part of it, too, is getting that message out as to what modifications you can be doing when it comes to diet, when it comes to exercise. And, of course, when it comes to just really being, you know, mindful. And this, I think, is key, because unfortunately, I always say that we live in a reactive society, in the sense of everything that we react to. We're not very proactive into anything, and especially when it comes to health. Most people do not do much about their health, unfortunately, until something goes haywire, and then they become reactive. So it's not until someone gets to the point where they feel so out of sorts because their blood sugar is so off that they go in and they see their doctor and find out, yes, you're a diabetic, or, you know, you're so incredibly stressed out that the, you know, you feel your blood pressure thumping in your ears and you say, oh, maybe I should go into the ER, or, you know, someone's short of breath. So we definitely have to change that mindset of just being in the world of reactionary and get more proactive. And that's where we step in at Invite Health, because that's the path that we take, is being proactive. Now, we've got people who come to us that have multiple, you know, chronic disease states and very complex health concerns and conditions. And we definitely can address those as well. But we also like to really work with people that just say, you know what, I'm 40 years old, I feel like my diet might not be the best, I need a little help with, you know, how I can design, you know, a better dietary intake for myself. I need to try to figure out what can I do to stay a little bit more fit, and what supplements should I be taking. So that's what really does, you know, make us incredibly unique in that sense, is that we take that time to sit with you and say,
What are your main concerns and how can we easily address these? Let's not make these so complicated. And let's, and if we do have things that are wrong, if we have an issue with blood pressure or high cholesterol, let's work on those. Let's try and figure out why that happened in the first place so it doesn't come back. The problem with traditional medicine is it's always that band-aid approach. If someone presents with, you know, high blood pressure, they generally are just trying to treat the high blood pressure. They're not trying to figure out, well, why did the high blood pressure happen in the first place? Same thing with even with diabetics. It's, okay, here's your blood sugar level. We need to put you on this medication. But they hardly ever go back and say, well, what got you to this point, if that kind of makes sense.
Well, it does. And I'm just kind of curious because the meme is always, and we love doctors, obviously, but some, you know, meet with the patient for 7 minutes. That's kind of the meme, right? So how long does Invite Health meet with their clientele on a daily basis per session?
You know, it really varies, but I would say at minimum, say if someone comes in and they, you know, just have a couple of questions about the different products and what their health concerns may be, I would say plan on that being at least, you know, a 15 to 20 minute encounter. I mean, I certainly have worked with our customers with, you know, upwards of over an hour to 2 hours. You know, if they're bringing in blood work and kind of going through and explaining everything. So it's going to vary from one person to the next. But the thing is that you don't have to feel rushed. You don't have to set an appointment. You can just walk in. As I mentioned, you can get onto our website. You can, you know, set up a video consultation and just do that from the comfort of your own home if you would like to do that. Or you can give us a call. It's one of those services where, number one, it's free, which is very important in this day and age. But also that it's very personalized. And so we don't want you to ever feel rushed through that process. And for many of our customers who we've had for, you know, upwards of 20 years, they will tell you that, you know, maybe they've worked with the same nutritionist for the past 10 years, at Invite Health, and they've established that rapport and that trust. And so to me, that's important in your wellness approach. Like you said, if you go into your doctor's office, you're usually, you know, 5 to 7 minutes. The whole ordeal probably takes you an hour and a half. By the time you get there, you wait in the waiting room, they bring you in, they check your blood pressure, and then you sit by yourself in the tiny little exam room. And then finally the doctor comes in, and then most time they don't even really look at you because they have their back to you as they're filling out everything on the computer. So it's not a very personalized approach. That was one of the drawbacks for me, even going through medical school, was like how impersonal medicine actually is. And I'm a very personable person. So this is definitely a better fit for me because I can really utilize my background and my skills and work with people to get them on that right path. And I do think that makes us really unique. And it's a nice thing to offer to folks because I think people really are seeking a lot of, you know, alternatives. That's for sure. So I have a wonderful, guest who is going to be joining us today. Let me just kind of give you a little bit of a background. So you know who I'm going to be talking to and who's going to be talking to us. She is a doctor, Dr. Joan Niehal, and she's an author on top of being a doctor. She has her background is in forensic psychology. She's a best-selling author, which is really a fabulous thing for me to have the honor to be able to speak with her. And she has over 35 years of clinical practice of working with folks when it comes to, you know, overall sense of well-being and really zeroing in on people's happiness and her therapeutic approach to provide that support for people, I think is kind of ties back into what I was talking about with that prevention and taking that personalization to people's health, because everyone is different in terms of how, you know, their lives affect them. And so she just came out with a book called Happy is the New Healthy. So I would like to, at this point, welcome Dr. Niehal with me today and talk a little bit about the mindfulness approach and what people can do to really address the ever-changing society that we live in and how people can still get rooted into happiness and into wellness. So welcome to the show today, Dr. Niehal.
Thank you for having me. We were talking about how to be happy. And the how of happiness is very important. One of the things I want to share with you this morning is the fact that mindfulness is important, but even more important is to understand that while we have a physical immune system that helps us or defends us against a common cold and so on, we also have a psychological immune system that gives us antibodies that help us to deal with stress, with the fact that life seems to be topsy-turvy right now and we don't know which end is up. So if you can hone into that psychological immune system that we all have, you become much healthier. And there are ways to do it, by the way. I don't know if you know the definition of happiness, but mine is if you have a balance between your aspirations and your achievements, you are clinically happy. But to go back to your immune system, the psychological immune system, I think the most important thing that we've found in the research is that people can accept. If you can accept what you're dealing with today, it helps you buffer stress. If you can be mindful or meditate or just take a moment every day to savor, to just increase that pleasure in a pleasant experience that you're having right now, be it in the outdoors, drinking a cup of coffee, whatever, and then post it on Instagram, share it with a friend. That makes it even more memorable.
Yeah, and it is, as you know, we've talked about it. It's so important to be present in the moment. Sometimes people get caught up in the hustle and bustle of their everyday life, and to take those little moments to appreciate themselves and to appreciate their surroundings. And sometimes I think just taking that pause can do so much, like you said, with that interconnectivity between our mental being and our physical being, and that is really so important. Now with your practice, and you've been at this for a very long time, have you found that people are, you know, more intrigued by being in touch with the mindfulness, say now than perhaps say 2 decades ago? Are you seeing a shift in terms of people seeking out alternative ways to deal with their stressful lives?
Yes. And I think it's a very important question that you're asking, because it goes back to the whole concept of gratitude, for instance. I mean, we're all programmed to find negatives, aren't we? With confirmation bias, I can go out and say, okay, this is negative, that's negative, my life is the pits. But if you use the word, a simple word of gratitude, what are you grateful for? It gets you to focus, it primes your brain to look at the positives in life. And what I have patients doing very often is to answer the following question: what went well for you today and why? And I ask people to answer that question before they go to sleep. Just doing that enhances their sense of agency. And guess what? They feel in control of their lives, and in a couple of months, their depression is lifted. So just think about it, a simple thing: what went well today and why? The why is key to the question, because very often when you're depressed and or anxious, you feel out of control. You feel that you've got no agency. But all of a sudden you realize, whoa, I've got some control in here. This is nice. Remember what Viktor Frankl said, you know, without hope there is no meaning, without meaning there is no hope.
This is so true. And so Dr. Nihal is going to stick around with us. We'll be right back after this break. We're going to talk more about mindfulness and getting on the path to wellness on Invite Health Radio. I'm Dr. Amanda Williams. We'll be right back.
Now's the time to make sure you're managing stress and getting that energy back. Invite Health is here to help. This week, they're zeroing in on promoting energy, focus, and attention with powerful, clinically studied nutrients, and they're making this even easier for you by offering you a limited-time offer. Buy one of their select heart health supplements and get 40% off retail. Double up, buy two, and get free shipping. Call them now at 800-673-2345 to save on select energy and brain health products. Again, that's 800-673-2345. 800-673-2345. One more time, 800-673-2345. Tired of feeling wired and tired? Support your energy, focus, and attention today. Invite Health. Get healthy. Stay healthy. 800-673-2345.
Welcome back to the Invite Health Wellness Hour. I am being joined by Dr. Joan Niehall, and she is so well accomplished in terms of just her background and her awards and lectures she's done and her book that she has. And the book, I definitely encourage anyone who's out there listening to check that out. Happy is the New Healthy. And this is so encompasses what I talk about in terms of, you know, mind, body, medicine. And so I know that in your book, not to, to give anything away in there, but I know that you go through and you really explore some of the underlying causes of unhappiness. And through doing your research and being in practice, for the years you've been in practice, is there any common things that you find in people who all kind of have this similar trait of just being perpetually unhappy? Do you find that there's any common thing that they all have?
Yes, that's a really good question. What you find very often is that if a person is depressed, they tend to ruminate or to think of the past, to feel anger, to feel regret, to feel a lack of control. I think the issue of control is very important in terms of a person feeling depressed or a person feeling that the cup is half empty. Now, if we look at the research of Sonia Lubomirsky, for example, she points out that only 10% of our happiness is due to life events, be they positive or negative. Now, think about that, because a depressed person might come to you and say, you know, I just lost my wife, this, that, and the other, and I'm feeling down. But that's only 10% of life events that will cause you to be happy or unhappy. 40% of your happiness is due to your deliberate, intentional thoughts and actions in response to life events. Think of how that empowers a person.
Wow.
All of a sudden, hey, I can change things. Right?
Yeah.
Now, when you think about anxiety, very often with anxiety, what I've noticed with my patients is they're future-oriented. Just as depression is past-oriented, anxiety is future-oriented. It's the what-if question. What if? What's going to happen now in our world? What's going to happen with the toxicity in our environment? What? That's future-oriented. Now, if I can get you to do what you talk about, mindfulness, if I can get you to focus on the present, not just can we use gratitude and savoring, but how about just doing a random act of kindness for someone else? That takes you out of your ego. It takes you out of your comfort level. You're doing something for someone else, and that gives you a big bang for your buck. You automatically start feeling better. And what about something that I've noticed my patients doing nowadays, and also my staff? Time affluence. Now people are electing to work fewer hours and to spend time in ways that are more meaningful to themselves. So going to an art gallery, spending time with the social bit, the social connection. If you look at my research with happy people, what they do is they invest in healthy, satisfying social connections. So this is what people are doing nowadays. And, you know, when we think about the pandemic and what it's done to people, on the flip side, I have found that it's done a lot of positives for people, because now they have to reevaluate, what's my friendship all about? What's work all about? And what is the meaning and purpose of my life? Now, aren't those important questions?
They really are. And, you know, I mean, I think that's so important. I was talking with Alex, before you came on with me, and, you know, talking about how many folks, you know, kind of get stuck into these physical, conditions or ailments that they are dealing with. And that maybe then becomes the definer for them. Like, oh, I'm now a diabetic, or now I'm someone who has, you know, high blood pressure. And I think, like you said, to stay in the moment, you can have a particular problem, that can be worrisome and bothersome, but to be able to see almost past that and be in that moment, I think is so incredibly important. And as you said, just an act of kindness. And I think that we've lost that so much in our society. I was speaking with Alex before the show about that. You know, even when someone goes to a restaurant, you know, just being kind to the wait staff and to the hostess, almost seems like it's difficult feat for people to do nowadays. And I think to try and just take that time to really zero in on what is happiness. And I know for you, you know, with the amount of research that you've done, as well as, you know, all of the work that you've done in private practice,
do you find that, you know, getting people to just kind of pause and pay attention to those things and, you know, have moments of gratitude for themselves and for others, do you find that that in combination with other forms such as cognitive behavioral therapy, which I know that you also do, do you find that some people need kind of a dual approach?
I love what you just said, because I want to go back to what you said, you opened with. You said people tend to define themselves with their ailment. And so here's a story to give you. Years ago, a patient came to see me and he said, you know, I'm depressed. And I said, well, I'm Joan Nichol.
Aww.
And he stopped and he thought about it. And he says, I said, well, what's your name? Your name is not depression, surely.
Oh, that's funny.
He thought about it and he burst out laughing. I said, excuse me, you're not supposed to be laughing. You're supposed to be depressed, remember? So, you know, depression, I am depressed. Excuse me, I am Joan Nichol and you are depressed. Or, you know, whatever. Why do we have to label ourselves and throw ourselves into that procrustean bed of self-doubt? Why can't you just say, well, occasionally I get depressed, but other times I actually have glimmers of hope. You know what I mean? Like, why are you coming to see me if you're going to stay depressed, right?
So exactly.
That's the first thing I want to talk about is the identity. And you want to pull the person, your patient, away from that identity to look at a bigger picture. That's but a part of you. What are the other parts of you like? Tell me about those. Let's explore those. So what I'm doing basically in a session, especially the first session, is I'm moving towards the goal right away. The goal is obviously to get the person undepressed. And in the first session, I want to move them because I don't know if I'm going to see them again. You never know. Talk is not cheap. So I want to get them into looking at things differently. And that's what I do in the first session. So that's the first thing. And another thing I want to talk about as we're talking about identity is I want to talk a little bit about neuroplasticity.
Mm, yes.
Neuroplasticity is very exciting research nowadays because what we have found is, let me turn it a different way. We found that your brain will change in response to your actions. Now, let me just take a minute and think about that. I get people, when I'm doing a workshop, for instance, or a conference, I say, turn to each other and smile. One person is going to smile, the other one is going to stay with a straight face. Well, guess what happens after 30 seconds? Everyone's laughing, right? Why? Because the mirror neurons and the motor neurons in the brain are closely aligned. So you're going to respond with a smile. And when you smile, by the way, it triggers your brain to think that you're happy. Now, think about what I've just said. How simple is that? And yet how difficult it is. So I get people to exercise. And I say not just exercise physically, as the research shows that really helps, but exercise your brain to start thinking differently. Go on a search and find out the things about yourself that you like. What are some of the things that you appreciate? How can you become a better version of yourself? So notice what I'm saying. I'm not going for pathology and you are depressed or bipolar or whatever. I'm not using labels. I'm saying, what can you do that will elevate your mood? And you know what? My research shows if I can get people to exercise just for 30 minutes in the outdoors, as I say, it's not just for vitamin D, but guess what? The mood is elevated. Just like that.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought up the neuroplasticity. I had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, and she was actually, she got COVID, and then post-COVID, she was dealing with many different long-hauler issues, including some GI issues, which, of course, then affected all of the neuronal components, too. So she was doing the dynamic neural retraining system, the applied neuroplasticity, to retrain her brain as she was describing it and really working on the limbic system. So you had mentioned neuroplasticity, and I talk about that sometimes in the setting of different nutrients, you know, the key fatty acids for the brain to help with the repair and recovery of our ever so injured little brain cells, you know, because we get so stressed out, and whether that's emotional or physical stressors, that can be very taxing on that. But as you mentioned, just doing basic things like going outdoors and just doing light exercising. I always tell people, find something that you enjoy. I hula hoop, and people think it's funny, but I always say it's very difficult to be stressed out while you're trying to keep a hula hoop around your hips. So do you find that once people kind of gravitate towards this approach of understanding the power of the brain, that their resolution in terms of their symptoms really starts to fast forward?
Well, let me answer that question, which is complex, on a different level. Let me give you a little story. Did you know in London, the cab drivers have a larger hippocampus, or that area of the brain that is for spatial?
Really?
It's larger with the London, UK taxi cab drivers than our brains, the hippocampus in our brain. Guess why? Well, here's the question. Is it because babies who are born with a larger hippocampus are destined to be cab drivers? Or is it possible that the cab drivers have to use their brain, get into spatial recognition, so the hippocampus increases, right?
Wow.
Of course. So this is so exciting for me, okay? So what happens, and I teach this to people, by the way, what I'm sharing with you is so important, because what I'm saying is your actions will determine which areas of the brain are going to get fired, which areas the neurons are going to decide are going to wither and die, and which ones are going to grow. Because we used to believe that after adolescence, that stopped. But it's not true. Your brain can continue growing, and the neurons can make new connections right into your 80s. Now, think about that. So how does that tie into what you're asking about exercise? The reason I said it's complex is because you hit on willpower there, you hit on motivation, and you also hit on the fact that you might like hula hooping, you get enjoyment from it. But trust me, my patients do not like it when I say to them, I want you to go out in the and do some cardio work for me, and you know, take that bicycle out to the garage, dust it and get on it, or do something, but not necessarily because you like it. In fact, they are so allergic to exercise, it isn't funny. You know, it's like,
right.
You're telling me to exercise knee haul, forget it. And I'm saying, you want to try it? I bet you anything. If you do 30 minutes at least four times this week, before I see you next week, you're going to notice a difference in your mood. And if you don't, the session's on the house. Well, they love that. You know, oh, free session, that's not bad, eh? And to this day, I have not had to cough up the goods. So there you go.
That really is amazing. Now, when it comes to... go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, well, what I was going to say is that how do you motivate a person to exercise? And the how is very important, because I think happiness is a habit. As the Dalai Lama says, want what you have, not need what you want. So how do I get people to fire up that area of the brain? You talk about the limbic system, and then, of course, we have the prefrontal cortex, the limbic system, and hey, I want to sleep in today. I really don't want to press that. Press the snooze button is what I want to do. I want to get up and exercise, as Nihal suggested. I'm not doing that. But then you have the other part of you, the prefrontal cortex, that's saying, ah, it's good for you. So what I say is use the spotlight effect, like Mel Robbins says, you know, go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And so you stop your brain from saying, yes, but, oh, I don't really want to do this. You don't have this neurotic conversation going on. You just get up and go do it. I had a patient,
right,
actually, she would wear her gym clothes, you know, this to bed. The husband thought she was crazy. But she would get up in the morning and go to the gym. She had no excuse. I mean, when you get up in the morning, do you ask yourself, am I going to wear clothes today? I hope you don't. So,
right. Dr. Nihal, if you wouldn't mind, if you can stick around with me through this break and we can have another quick little talk. I have one other thing I really want to zero in on with you. So if you'll hang around with me, we'll be right back just after this.
Now is the time to make sure you're managing stress and getting that energy back. Invite Health is here to help. This week, they're zeroing in on promoting energy, focus, and attention with powerful, clinically studied nutrients. And they're making this even easier for you by offering you a limited time offer. Buy one of their select heart health supplements and get 40% off retail. Double up, buy two, and get free shipping. Call them now at 800-673-2345 to save on select energy and brain health products. Again, that's 800-673-2345. 800-673-2345. One more time, 800-673-2345. Tired of feeling wired and tired? Support your energy, focus, and attention today. Invite Health. Get healthy, stay healthy. 800-673-2345.
And welcome back to the Invite Health Wellness Hour. I am Dr. Amanda Williams. I am joined by Dr. Joan Niehal. She's a forensic clinical psychologist, and she is the author of more than one book, but the book that we're kind of zeroing in on today is Happy is the New Healthy, which I know that you can get on Amazon. So definitely check that out. Happy is the New Healthy, everyone. And Dr. Niehal is explaining, you know, all of her years of research and working with folks on how you can kind of zero in on, you know, what is happiness? How do we get ourselves to a place where we can optimize our overall wellness and our outlook on life just by being present in the moment and just making small modifications to our day, which I talk about often when it comes to diet and exercise and what you're doing, and that mindfulness approach, it's really key. Now, Dr. Niehal, let me ask you this. Do you find that diet plays a big role into people's sense of well-being and their mental state? Because the folks I've worked with in the past, generally, if they're following that standard American diet, they're just not getting the right nutrients heading up to the brain, and that can lead to more issues when it comes to, you know, anxiety, depression, lack of sleep, all of the other factors that go into that. Do you find that food management and working with folks on trying to eat cleaner, healthier foods is part of the approach to this as well?
Absolutely. I think that's crucial, because you are what you eat and you are what you think. Remember, we were talking about the fact that you think in a certain way and then you act a certain way, right? So if you're going to do clean eating, you think about what you're putting in your mouth. I had a patient, now this is funny, she said to me during the pandemic, I love wearing the masks. Now, I don't know how many people hated the mask, but this one loved it. And guess why? She said she wore it when she went to her kitchen so she wouldn't put food in her mouth. She just loved wearing the mask. But what I'm saying is that, levity aside, if you're going to consume excessive amounts of carbohydrates, if you're going to eat unrefined sugars, as you know better than any of us, your mood is going to drop. You're going to start feeling depressed. You're going to feel bloated. You're going to feel you've got a classic hangover. So, yes, proper rest is important. Nutrition is important. But it's also important to be gentle with ourselves. I mean, during the pandemic, you know, it hit us in our sweet spot. We're social beings. We couldn't interact with other people. So what did we do? We substituted dopamine in a different way. What did we do with it? We delivered dopamine to our brains with Netflix, a glass of wine, popcorn, and so on and so forth. So you're right. You've got to take a moment and think of mindfully, what am I putting into my body? My body is a precious, non-renewable resource. I mean, you know, would you, if you had an expensive car, would you fuel it with sugar? And yet our bodies are our slaves, and they have to put up with whatever we do to them. So you want to think about it that way, of being respectful and grateful for your body, never mind the size that it might be or not be. But being grateful for what we have is the first step in recovery.
Definitely. And it's one of the areas that, you know, when I'm working with our clients at Invite Health, that I zero in a lot on is, you know, you have to, number one, we have to be aware and cognizant of what it is that can be our triggers and can kind of worsen our sense of well-being. And that's always very important for me to work with folks on. And when it comes to stress management, I find a lot of people will tell me, well, listen, you know, I would like to eat healthier, but I'm so stressed out. You know, I have this meeting, then I have this meeting. I just don't have time. So I just grab whatever's in front of me and I go. And I always try and say, well, this is a routine. We need to kind of break that pattern of not taking care of our precious temple, as you mentioned, and say, well, you know, we may be on the go, but how can we approach this in a healthier way for our mind body experience for the day? And I think that that's really important. When it comes to stress management, are there any key techniques that you find people will adhere to or stick to for those quick go-to, like maybe they're traveling and they're all stressed out? Do you have any like stress management techniques that you find are very helpful?
Yes. Well, the first thing is, I want to go back to what you said just now about getting people to change habits. The way I do it in my practice is I take a habit that's already established, say brushing your teeth, and I link it on to a new habit that they will want to embrace. For example, when I'm brushing my teeth, I'm thinking of going to the gym. Okay. And I'm just thinking that way. So I'm linking something that's automatic. I brush my teeth in the morning to go into the gym. And after a while, in 21 days, actually, the habit is entrenched in the brain so that they can do it automatically. Okay, it goes into working memory, then it becomes automatic, like putting on your shoes or whatever else. In terms of stress management, I talk about stress management being mind management. It's what I'm saying to myself. Just like we were talking about, what we eat is who we are. So what we think is who we are. So I want people to start breathing, for example, deep breathing if they're stressed out or anxious. And then I want to look at the things I can change and the things I can't change and work with the ones I can change. So if you're busy, say, for example, you're traveling or whatever, how can you prepare for that? And that's a very important point nowadays, because you know about airport anger that people are experiencing. I mean, right. You know, because flights were delayed, baggage isn't there, and on it goes, right? In Canada, it's really bad right now, okay? With it. So I tell people, well, the important thing is to take a couple of deep breaths and plan for this. So if you can plan for it, you're in charge. You can carry some healthy snacks with you as well, can't you? Can you not also think in terms of what your goal is going to be? If I'm going to be kind, should I not start by being kind to myself? And what about spending? How am I spending money? Am I spending it on a trip? How am I spending money? And I have found in my research that people who spend money on experiences get a bigger bang for their buck than if you spend money on objects, which will last, but as you know, with hedonic adaptation, you get bored, so you have to buy something else. So that's what we call miswanting, okay? So doing versus having is important. With stress management, I think deep breathing, making that list of what you can and cannot control and the ways you're going to cope with it. And then coming up with some emotional choices. Because as I said before, 40% of our happiness is due to how we react to things. So I get people to plan for the stressful event and then execute it. And that's so much better than being reactive. Now you're being proactive.
Right. I mean, and that's just so important. And I did some training in the past through the Center for Mind-Body Medicine, and I was doing it intentionally through the medical university that I was working with. Or working for at the time, because we were trying to figure out how we could intercept the third year medical students that were just basically kind of falling off cliffs, having, you know, their major meltdowns before taking their big board examinations. And so we were trying to figure out different ways. And so within our department, there was many of us that were very much into the whole mindfulness. And so we said, well, hey, if we all go get certified, maybe we can use these skills and help the medical students. And what was the most amazing thing to me, Dr. Nihal, is as I was doing the course, and it was pretty intensive, I learned so much about myself. And where I always thought, hey, I exercise, I eat right, I'm doing all of the right things, I had a major component that was missing out of my routine. And that was my ability to manage myself when it came to stressful situations. And going through this process of trying to help medical students, I actually, in the end, I ended up helping myself. And now I have that different outlook. Like you said, I know I have to travel coming up in the end of August. Am I looking forward to that? No, but am I going to pre-plan for that? That, hey, my flight might get delayed. I'm going to plan for all of those things. So like you said, kind of forecasting different events that could come up and how you can manage it. As they used to always say, 80% is how you respond to the things that you don't have control over. And I do think that matters. Even if people are driving and, say the person in front of you, turns and didn't use their blinker or whatnot. And that can create frustration. Like, well, hey, why didn't you let me know you were turning? But it's about how you respond in that moment. And I think that's so critical of what you kind of explained to all of us today. So I definitely appreciate that.
In the face of adversity, we can use positive emotions to flood the brain with dopamine and serotonin, which will help us to problem solve. When we prime our brain with images of contentment, we're in a better position to broaden and build possibilities. Did you know that? There was a University of Toronto study that proved that when we have positive emotions, our peripheral vision is enhanced so that we can see further and we can come up with more solutions instead of the typical flight, fight, or freeze. So I find that very interesting.
That really is. And I want to thank you for joining me. I would love if in the future you can come back and we can talk some more, because you are just a book of knowledge. And definitely for those who can go check out Dr. Nihal's site, happyisthenewhealthy.com, or you can go to Nihal, N-E-E-H-A-L-L.com. Check that out. Remember to smile today. Smiling gets you a long way. Once again, thank you so much, Dr. Nihal, for joining me today.
My pleasure. Bye now.
Bye-bye. And you've been listening to Invite Health Radio. I'm Dr. Amanda Williams. Smile. Head off to Invite.
Now's the time to make sure you're managing stress and getting that energy back. Invite Health is here to help. This week, they're zeroing in on promoting energy, focus, and attention with powerful, clinically studied nutrients, and they're making this even easier for you by offering you a limited-time offer. Buy one of their select heart health supplements and get 40% off retail. Double up, buy two, and get free shipping. Call them now at 800-673-2345 to save on select energy and brain health products. Again, that's 800-673-2345. 800-673-2345. One more time, 800-673-2345. Tired of feeling wired and tired? Support your energy, focus, and attention today. Invite Health. Get healthy. Stay healthy. 800-673-2345.
The preceding program paid for by Invite Health, Inc.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.